Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. We've been doing a series of messages in the book of Genesis, and verse 9 states, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?'" Father in heaven, I thank you for your word today, for this very important question, "Where are you?" Holy Spirit, today we ask that you would come in your fullness and in your presence today, that you would speak to us and be our teacher, that you would penetrate our hearts and our lives, to transform us, that we might not only know you, but be like you, that we would walk in your ways and live in obedience to your word. In the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind Satan today so that your word and your spirit might have free course in our hearts and in our lives today. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the honor and the glory. And Lord, now I ask that you would sanctify us in your truth, for your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Where are you? Reminds me of playing hide and seek with my grandchildren at our house. And it's so much fun, but you know, the littler grandchildren don't know how to count very good, you know? So you don't get very much time to hide. But it's so fun. And then when they find you, they're so elated that they found you. You know, isn't that kind of the way our Lord is? We try to hide from him, but he comes looking for us. And when he finds us, he's elated over finding us and wants us to interact with him. In Genesis 3, this is one of the most important chapters in the whole Bible, because here we have a history of the world and at the same time the main outlines of salvation. Without this understanding, we cannot understand why the world, the whole world, is the way it is, and each of us in particular. This chapter is not only a record of actual history, but in addition is a full explanation of what each one of us does in our lives. What we find here today is true of every human individual in this world. When the scripture says, "In Adam we all died," we're just like Adam and Eve. We find ourselves identical to them in our lives. After Adam and Eve had sinned, they had a sense of loss and incompleteness. The guilt and shame, the fear of life and the fear of death. Finally, we have seen how even when God comes to us, we run away from him because of our totally wrong idea concerning him. Our final tragedy is that we refuse the one thing that can put us right, and that's our relationship with him. You know, I find it so amazing in the 28 years I've been in full-time ministry that so often when individuals and families encounter trials and hardships and struggles, they often skip church, avoid the people that can really help them, the ones that really care. We're kind of like Adam and Eve. We want to hide from the one who can help us, right? And yet we're afraid. We're afraid of what might be said about us or how it might turn out. And yet we fail to embrace those who love us the most. The first principle in this text is the universe is God's. The world is God's. The whole garden belongs to God. And we need to learn and grasp this. We are not independent creatures in this world. We do not own it. We cannot order it and decide what happens in it. It is God's from beginning to end. It is God making his world. He owns it. It is his possession. He controls it. He sustains it. He guides it. He comes into it, It is always God's. All things are naked and open to Him with whom we have to do. We can't hide anything from Him. Interesting. And then under that first principle, we see that God comes into the garden when Adam and Eve thought they were finished with Him. They were hiding behind trees thinking that God wouldn't see them. And then they would come out after God had gone by, somehow thinking that God didn't see all. I mentioned before playing paintball and trying to hide behind a tree. And I mean, even when I turn this way, I couldn't hide behind a tree. They thought they were finished with Him. You know, a lot of people today think that they're finished with God. They don't want anything to do with Him. How sad. And then we know God continues to speak. We see from the beginning to the end, God made man in His own image and spoke to him. And man listened and replied. That was perfection. That was paradise in the garden. That was man as he was meant to be. God speaking. Man is listening to God. And the greatest thing man can ever know is to be spoken to by God. But Adam and Eve decided to stop that. We don't want to talk to Him. Isn't that an interesting thing? I have seen families where they don't want to talk to each other. They treat their fellow sibling as though they're dead. You're dead to me. Kind of in essence, that's what Adam and Eve were saying to God. We don't want to listen to you anymore. How sad. Adam didn't believe in that any longer. And he thought it ended there. But you know what? God went on speaking, even though they didn't want to listen. And he says here, but the Lord God called to the man. God kept on speaking, didn't he? Where are you? Was the question. And they heard God, and they couldn't avoid Him. And they had to come out from hiding. God was speaking, and He still speaks and addresses us in many ways. How does He speak to us? He speaks to our conscience. Sometimes in a still small voice. He speaks in history. The things that have happened in the past are for our learning today. He has spoken in history. He speaks in events, things that are happening, in earthquakes, drought, famine, pestilence. He speaks to us. But we all seem to be deaf as a result of sin. And we don't hear Him like we should, even when He's speaking. You know, one of the traits of us men, sorry to say, is that our wives can be talking to us, and we listen, but while we're listening, we already have formulated the answer before they get done talking. Right, guys? I know that's happened to me. And we probably didn't hear half of what they said before we formulated that idea. And we're guilty of that. But sometimes when God is speaking, we've already formulated our thoughts and we really don't listen to Him. How sad. You know, I think Dale puts it right. That Dale. We don't have a hearing problem. We have a listening problem, don't we? But I want to tell you that God does not always speak in an audible voice as He spoke to Adam and Eve, hiding there behind the trees. In the book of Job, God spoke through visions and dreams at night. In Job 4:13, He said, "Amid disquieting dreams in the night, when deep sleep falls on men." And over in Job 7:14, He says, "Even then, you frighten me with dreams and terrify me with visions." Well, what's going to happen in the last days? Isn't God going to be speaking through dreams and visions again before He comes? Before that great and terrible day of the Lord? And some of them might be very frightening. He speaks. He speaks to us through accidents, through illnesses, through death. But supremely, he speaks to us through his word addressing us. But in the last day, God speaks to us through his Son, as it says in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom we appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. He speaks. God speaks. How does God speak? He addresses us personally. It says, but the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Where are you, Adam? He spoke personally to him. It was a personal address. Adam and Eve and the devil were having a conversation about God, and they were expressing their opinions about him. But suddenly, in this ninth verse, the whole situation changed. Now God was addressing Adam as they were hiding behind the trees. The positions were reversed, and that is the first thing that happens to a man or woman who is on the way to becoming a Christian. God begins to speak, and he addresses us personally, where we're at. I find that comforting in a sense, that God is interested in me. And remember, as we get into this Lenten season, if I were the only one living on earth, God would have sent his Son to die for me personally. But he died for all. That's how much he's interested in you and me. And I'm grateful for that. That God would take an interest in somebody like me. That's grace. That's mercy. The first thing that happens is that we become conscious of is that we are being addressed. He's getting our attention. Adam was being investigated here. Adam, where are you? The Lord God had come down. He was looking. He was searching for Adam. Adam was no longer in a position of supremacy. He was under examination, being investigated. Every one of us must come to the realization that our lives are on trial. You are involved. And that every second you live, judgments are being formed about you. And that by what you do here, you are determining not only what happens to you in this world, but also in eternity. Our lives are under examination by God. And then we see that God is interested in us. Where are you? I'm speaking to you, Adam. Where are you? That is what God says. Christianity is not a discussion about ideas or religious talk or even biblical issues. It is a discussion about you. God is interested in you, the individual person. We need to realize that we must deal with ourselves and stop being camouflaged and hiding behind trees. God penetrates through it all. It's about you. You as an individual at this moment. It is all about you and your life and what you are doing with it and where you are going. God's interested in us, concerned about us. So interesting, on our plane ride home, sat by Gary's high school classmate. All we did was ask, well, where are you going? Right? He was going to Cavalier. Well, I asked him if he knew Gary. And boom, we had a two-hour conversation. And it was so amazing. I was wondering as I sat by him, I wonder where he is with the Lord. And it didn't take very long when we started talking that something had happened in his life that he didn't share the whole story, but he had retired. And he was only 53, and he had retired some 6 years earlier. And he started going to Bethel Evangelical Free Church. in Fargo. And one of the pastors mentored him through the book of Revelation. And somewhere in that, he came to know the Lord. Just amazing. And then later on, he had a major pickup fifth-wheel camper accident where a man had a diabetic reaction and came across a median and hit him head-on. And he showed me a picture of his pickup. It's amazing he's alive, him and his wife. And all he got out of it was some stitches in his left arm. And the interesting thing is that in all of this, God was calling him, right? Where are you? Where are you, Joe? And what was so interesting is that next Sunday, he leaves to go on a mission trip to Honduras. God had done a great work in his heart. And he had responded to God when he was calling, "Where are you?" And that's true for all of us. He's asking that very same question. Have you realized that this is a personal matter? A personal decision? A personal coming face to face with God? You are confronted by God. He is addressing you. He is speaking to you. He's interested primarily in your, not in your ideas, but in you yourself as you pass through this life and through this world once and once only. He gives us a choice as he's calling. Where are you? That choice to respond. And the next thing we see here is that God forces us to face where we are and what we are. Adam, where are you? Where exactly are you and what are you doing there? And this whole business of preaching and of the gospel brings me face to face with the fact of where I am and where I ought to be. When we're confronted with the Word of God, we have some choices. Before the fall, when God came into the garden called paradise, Adam was always there to meet him. He looked forward to his coming, rejoicing in his coming, ran to meet him with a smile on his face, but now for the first time he did not do that. He was hiding behind some trees. God was calling him to come out. And the Bible asks, where are we? Where are we intellectually? Where are we morally? In matters of purity, honesty, chastity or sexual abstinence, and in matters of life and living, along with examining our hearts before God called. So interesting. There have been many people that have had a relationship with the Lord like Adam did in the garden. They enjoyed getting up in the morning and reading the Word and spending time with Him. But something happens in their life, whether they fall into sin or they run away from God or they get hurt, and that precious time with the Lord gets cut off. I have Bible school classmates that are no longer walking with Jesus, that chose the wide road after they had known the narrow road. And God still goes looking for him. Where are you? Where are you? And I'm so glad that I have a Jesus who longs to spend time with me. And the precious Holy Spirit who reminds us, I want to talk to you. I want to spend some time with you today. I want to help you to pray. I want to remind you what to pray for. That's the kind of Jesus we have. Amen. Who longs for us and calls us. And you know, there are those that Jesus encountered, like the woman at the well. Remember, Jesus told her all she had done, right? She asked him, or Jesus asked her to go and get her husband. Well, I don't have a husband, right? She had to face the fact that she was an adulteress. And she had to come to Christ and deal face to face with him. And you know, when she was visiting with him, she was talking about religion and worship. But Jesus wasn't interested in her religion or her worship. He was interested in the Samaritan woman, in her soul, and where she was at. Or we can go to the Old Testament, in the life of David. And we know that story better than most stories, where he, in the hour of temptation, lusted after Bathsheba and committed adultery with her. And then he brought Uriah, her husband, back from the war and wanted Uriah to sleep with his wife so that this would be his baby. And he was so loyal to the king that he didn't go home at night. And through this all, David was sinning. And then he sends Nathan. God sends Nathan to deal with David. And he tells him that story of the man that had the many sheep, and he took this one sheep from the poor man and had it slaughtered and served it to his guests. And as he was sharing that story, David became so filled with wrath and indignation that he wanted to punish that man right away. But remember the words of Nathan to David, "You are that man." He had to come face to face with the reality of what he had done, and he had to have a meeting with God. And later on we find out, "Against thee," David prays, "against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight," right? A place of repentance and a place of return. I'm so glad that when we fall short, when we sin, that we have a God who comes looking for us, right? Caring about us, taking interest in us, bringing us face to face with reality, and then dealing with us in grace and mercy. I don't know of anybody who is as kind as our Lord when it comes to that. When God comes to us and speaks to us personally, he makes us realize the true nature and character of what we've just been doing. And then he comes to Genesis 3:11, and it says here, God speaking, "And who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from?" He confronted Adam in his sin. He not only went looking for him, but he confronted him. And there was a consequence of their sin. God made Adam and Eve face the exact nature of what they had done. It was not a question of just eating fruit. They had broken the command. They had violated his holy law. And they had raised themselves up in rebellion against him. God brought it right home to them. The thing that makes sin, sin, is that it's against God. And we were meant to be in communion with God, and to live in enjoyment of him. Sometimes we might think that God is harsh, but really his motive, his longing is that we could have communion with him, right? And enjoy him. Are you enjoying your relationship to God? Are you having communion with him? And we were meant to be righteous and holy, true and upright. But sin is a departure from that. And the terrible thing about sin is that it is a violation of God's creation. It is robbery of God. It is spitting into the face of God. And any life today that is not lived to the glory of God is in the deepness of sin. We were made to glorify God. In the epistles it says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God." We're here to bring glory to him every day. And I think the question we should ask ourselves in the morning, how can I glorify my Lord today? How can I bring honor and glory to him today? And he'll show us. And he'll use us. And he'll speak through us. And he'll change our life in a way that'll bring glory to him. Joe is going to go on a mission trip. I asked him what he was going to do. Well, he had some buildings to repair. And he said, I'm kind of dangerous when I get those kind of tools, he said. But he was just going to let the Lord be glorified through him. That's all he wants, is our submission and our love. And we do it all because we love him. When God speaks, we must come out of hiding and face God and acknowledge the situation we are in and come to him in brokenness and repentance, or else we'll face him in the judgment. God is speaking to us and asking us, where are we? Where are you? I want to talk to you. I want to speak to you. And he wants us to listen and obey, all because we love him. Amen? I don't know where you are today, but maybe you've been backsliding in your life. Maybe your relationship with the Lord Jesus isn't quite what it ought to be. Maybe you're not enjoying your time with the Lord. Then God is saying to you, where are you? Come out of hiding and come to me. Because he longs to be with you. He longs to know you and to show himself to you. And I invite you to repent and turn back to him and seek his face. And the scripture says, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise turn you away. He'll embrace you and love you. Amen. Isn't that the God we have who loves us? Let's pray. Father, today, you still speak. You still hear from the Father, and you show us things. You long for us to be in your presence and to walk with you and talk with you. And Lord, today, if somebody here has been backsliding or lost their love for you, I pray, Lord, that you would go seeking that one today, calling them back to yourself, that one would come out of hiding and respond to you and desire to be with you. Father, hear our cry today. You know our hearts. You know our times of discouragement. You know the times we get hurt. I just pray that you would draw us to yourself and that you'd give us great joy in your presence and that we would glorify you every day of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.